Just a couple of years after my family and I, we moved to Powhatan. It was coming close to spring break, and we decided that year after Easter and the week the kids were out of school that we wanted to go out of town, so we didn't want to go far, so we decided that we would go to the Powhatan Resort down in Williamsburg. How many of you have been to the Powhatan Resort down in Williamsburg? So we decided that we would spend most of the week there, go to the amusement park, go shopping at the outlets, all of the things. Oh, and the historical part too, right? We were going to do the historical part. And all of the things that we love to do in Williamsburg. But one of the things that I was looking forward to the most was just some quiet. For me, vacation has to be a quiet time. I can do an amusement park and do all of that, but taking a book and just having some time that's quiet is important to me. So we were excited about the indoor pool there at the Powhatan Resort. We found out there were two hot tubs there and all of the furniture around the pool. We just kind of imagined that Beverly and I, we would be able to kind of settle in with a book and the girls, they play in the pool and spend time in the hot tub, kind of a quiet time together. That year on Easter Sunday, we were excited to go down to Williamsburg. We had everything packed before church started that morning, and we made the short drive, and we got there, we checked into our little condo, and we couldn't wait to get to the pool. We had our book, we had a little cooler, our beach towels, all of that, and we go over and we show them our room card so we can enter the pool area. And when we were standing there at that counter, I could hear this roar of voices, of screams. And it was coming from the pool area. We weren't the only people, of course, who planned to go to the Powhatan Resort on spring break that year. So we walk in, and there must have been, well, I know that I looked at the occupancy number on the wall, and I quit counting when I got to that number. It went way beyond that. And there were beach balls being hit across the room. And kids were jumping off the side of the pool. And you could not find anywhere in that room where you wouldn't be splashed. If you were in the room, you were going to get wet. And the noise was just an inch shy of deafening, it seems like. But we settled in. And our girls, they joined all of that was happening. And I noticed something sitting there at the pool. Even though there were dozens and dozens and dozens of children who were splashing and screaming and laughing and jumping and running, and even though the parents, they were occupied with other things, talking to each other and thinking about other things, the parents sitting around the pool, especially the mothers, they had an amazing talent. If their child called out, "Mom," they would recognize their kid's voice. Even though there were dozens and dozens of other voices, somehow they could hear their child's voice. If their child was crying, if their child was in distress in the middle of the pool, their voice to their mom, it cut through all the other voices. And the moms especially, the dads not so much, but the moms, they could tell the difference between their child's voice and every other child's voice. I don't think I'm making this up. Do you think, moms? Scientists tell us that even in the mother's womb, a child is learning their mom's voice. And from the moment that child is born, a mom, a mother, is listening for that child's voice. Moms learn every nuance, every pronunciation. Moms can tell by their child's voice whether that child is happy or sad. You can even tell moms in your child's voice if your child may not be telling you the truth. And even when there are 100 kids shouting and yelling at the pool at Powhatan Resort, moms can pick out their child's voice out of the crowd. And the reason they're able to do that is because they've been listening to that voice intently for years. In today's reading, that Paul had just read, Jesus tells us that if you're going to be His disciple, that we must listen to His voice. And I must tell you, this just isn't for pastors. It's not just for deacons. It's not just for Sunday school teachers. But if you want to be a follower of Jesus, you must listen to His voice. And we need to practice listening to His voice, so we would know what His voice sounds like. You can't just do this in passing. You just can't do this on one occasion and then a few years later when you're in a really tough time or have a big decision to make, hope that you hear His voice then. You can't listen to His voice one day and let months and months and months pass and then you find yourself in a moment of panic and emergency and then hear that voice. We're called to spend time as Christians every day practicing and tuning our ears and our hearts to listen for the voice of our shepherd. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, they will follow me." Today I have two questions for you. Two questions. First, if Jesus spoke to you, if the Good Shepherd spoke to you today, would you know that it was Him? If you were shopping, walking along at Short Pump, and the shepherd spoke to you, would you know that it was Him? If you were cleaning up the dishes after supper, and the shepherd spoke to you, would you know that it's Him? If you're out cutting the grass, pushing or riding along on your mower, and the shepherd spoke to you while you were doing that, would you recognize His voice? You're on the golf course, and the shepherd spoke to you, would you recognize His voice? How much time this past week, how much time this past month, have you really spent listening for the shepherd's voice? We think that if we hear God's voice, that it's going to be a huge thunderclap. That it's going to be something that we could never miss. If God's voice comes to us, we too often think, if it comes to us, it's going to be loud and over the top. But what if the shepherd's voice, instead of a thunderclap, it's more like a slow, consistent drip, drip, drip. That it's kind of still and small. And in order to hear it, then we have to be in the habit of listening to that still, small voice. And I would guess that if I asked the question, at the end of your life, do you want to look back and see a lifetime of listening to the shepherd's voice? If I were to ask that, most of us would say yes. But if we want that life, it must be made up of moments and days of listening to that voice. How much time yesterday did you spend listening for His voice? This past week? This past month? The reason that mom at the pool at the Powhatan Resort can hear her child's voice is because she has spent years listening for it. And the sheep recognize the shepherd's voice because they have spent time daily listening. And that voice leads us to safety, to shelter, to nourishment. And because they've practiced this in moments throughout every day, they know what that voice sounds like, so they follow. Are you listening and learning what Jesus' voice sounds like? As a Christian, we don't have to invent ways to do this. Our faith tradition gives us trustworthy ways that will help us listen and know the voice of the shepherd. We are encouraged to be silent. Every day, to stop talking, to put our phones down, and be still and silent. And in that silence, shut out all of the noise of our lives and begin to listen for God's voice. There is a practice that groups of us here at May Memorial Church that we have had periods of time where we have observed these practices together, and there's one in particular called centering prayer. And during that practice, we don't talk. We don't praise God or ask for things. We simply are silent and listen for God's voice. Christians have been doing this probably since a little before the 4th century. That's the first place we read of this practice. So Christians have been doing this for 1,600 years to take time and be silent and listen for the voice of God. We also hear the shepherd's voice by reading the Bible, by taking Scripture and spending time every day reading the Bible. Do you want to know how Jesus talks? Do you want to hear His voice? Well, read the Bible. Over the past few weeks on Wednesday nights here at May Memorial as a group, we have spent about 20 or 30 minutes in a practice called Lectio Divina. It dates back all the way to the 6th century. And in this practice, we're not just reading for the gaining of knowledge, but you choose a short section of Scripture, 6, 8, 10 verses. You read it once and pause in silence and listen for one word that God may put on your heart. If you were doing this alone, you could write in a journal what the one word is. You read the text a second time. You spend time in silence and you think, what did God stir in my heart? What emotion did God stir in my heart? And in your journal, you could write that down as well. You read the text a third time. You're silent for a couple of more minutes. And then you ask yourself, what is God calling me to do in this text? And that's reading Scripture to hear God's voice, the voice of the shepherd. We hear God's voice in church when we come together on Sunday mornings, in the singing of hymns, in the reading of Scripture, in Sunday school. We hear that voice when we come together as the church by listening to each other through people who love us and tell us the truth by listening to someone else in the church say something that just kind of prompts your conscience to what God is calling you to do. People who encourage us to be better than we are. When we lived in North Carolina, it was the law that you had to recycle. We had two trash bins in our house. One was a really big one for trash, and the other one was a little bit smaller for recyclables. But when we moved to Powhatan, it was kind of like freedom. You didn't have to recycle anything. If you can fit your dishwasher in your dumpster, you can throw it away. There is the option of recycling at the convenience center here, but we never did it. But then a few years ago, a couple in our church said, you know, we here at the church should be recycling. At the church, I mean, we have so many bulletins and reports and newsletters. We really should recycle these. So we started doing that. Here at the church, my family, we didn't start it at that time. But a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago in Bible study, somebody made the comment that if you know something is the right thing to do, but you don't do it, you're really harming your conscience and your mind. We decided my house, recycling, that it is the right thing to do, to care for God's good creation. It is the right thing to do. And if I hadn't have been at church that night and heard that person say that, I don't know if we would have started, because it's too easy just to throw it all in the dumpster. We hear the shepherd's voice in church as we listen to each other. And when we do that, we become better than we could ever be on our own. And if you want to hear the shepherd's voice in times of crisis, and we all do, you have to start listening to him in your ordinary days. My first question is, if the shepherd spoke to you today, would you know it was his voice? Second question. When the shepherd speaks to us, when our good shepherd, when he speaks to us, is there a common theme to what he says? Is there an accent to his voice so that we could recognize it as an authentic voice? I think there are several things about his voice. If you read Scripture, if you read the Gospels, you see there are themes to what Jesus says. If the voice is calling you to forgiveness, it's probably his voice. If the voice that you hear, if it's calling you to love, it's probably his voice. If the voice that you hear is saturated with mercy and with truth and self-sacrifice, if the voice tells you to go out into the community and to meet the needs around us, that is his voice. If the voice is speaking about faithfulness, it's his voice. If the voice gives life, it is his voice. But if the voice is divisive and hateful, if the voice leads you to think about someone in a way to tear them down, it's not our shepherd's voice. If the voice that you hear is talking about scarcity and hopelessness, it's not his voice. If the voice leads you to embrace life, it's Jesus. If the voice tells you to forgive, it is Jesus. If the voice tells you to speak the truth, even if it's difficult, it is Jesus. There are other voices out there. Voices of thieves, which tell us that we shouldn't forgive each other. The voices of thieves tell us that we should carry grudges and hide the truth and demean life and to be small. We need the shepherd's voice now more than ever. In our world today, in our culture, we hear so many voices of hate and bitterness. The voices that we hear in our world today are so full of anger. You hear the voices of Pelosi and Schumer on the news every day, and there's just hate and anger for Trump. And Trump, his voice is angry, it seems like, at everyone. And the pundits, the news people are screaming, and neighbors in our world are fighting, and people are feuding. And Satan, the accuser, he looks at all of this, and he is thrilled. He's smiling. When we listen to all of those other voices that divide us and demean us and destroy us, the Satan is thrilled. But our good shepherd, he invites you today to listen to his voice and to follow him. And our good shepherd, he will lead you to abundant life. And he will speak to your heart. And he will show you a way that gives you life. A way that is so different from our culture. It's filled with division and anger. If you've not been listening to the voice of the shepherd, if you think, wow, I don't know the last time that I intently listened, I've got good news for you. It's never too late to start. You haven't missed it. Taking that opportunity, it's never too late to start. It's never too late to learn what that voice sounds like. So go ahead. Go ahead. Call out to Jesus. Because he is listening to you. Let us pray. Great shepherd of the sheep, we long to hear your voice. But I confess that in the busyness of our lives and in the noise of our culture, sometimes we have neglected to listen for your voice. God, I pray today that there will be decisions that are made to start listening for your voice, that we will hear words of life and hope that will make us different. In the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Our hymn of response today is number 52. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. If God has spoken to you, I invite you to respond today. Listen for his voice. Let us respond by singing together. Please stand.